West Coast Summer College Training, July 7th through 13th, 2008, Sacramento, California, United States. Title, That I May Gain Christ. Morning Session 2, Practicing the Twos or Threes. Message 4, The Binding and Releasing Prayer of the Twos or Threes.
Hallelujah. Let's turn to tap 4, message 4. Practicing the twos or threes, the binding and releasing prayer of the twos or threes. In this session, Jacob and I will have a steward to help us to release this burden. So this is not an individual sharing. This is the body releasing the burden. Praise the Lord. Are we all there? Amen. Practicing the twos or threes. How are you in your practicing the twos or threes? Have you begun? Have you arrived? Are you pressing on? Praise the Lord. Now, I want to touch this matter on the practice of the twos or threes. This is a matter of practice. But it's very crucial for the body life. Very crucial for building up of the body. Christ cannot return unless we enter into this experience. Right? By enter into this practice, we enjoy Christ, not just in an individual way, but we enjoy Christ in a corporate way. And we become the body of Christ, the bride that Christ so desired. And He will come back. Oh, Lord. Right? You know, the practice of calling on the name of the Lord. Don't we love to call on the name of the Lord?
Amen.
Oh, so sweet to call on the name of the Lord. You know, when was this practice of the calling on the name of the Lord recovered? You know? Yeah, Jacob has this pop quiz. I mean, you're too young. Maybe you don't know the answer to this one. Was in the 1960s, right? Now, was this invention by Brother Lee or anyone else?
No.
It was there from the beginning, right? Enosh was the first one to call on the name of Jehovah.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. But once this practice was recovered, once we all enter into the practice of this matter of calling on the name of the Lord, then what happened? There was a real revival that get brought in. Right? Jubilee this morning talked about calling on the Lord right out of bed in the morning for 5 minutes straight. And he said that calling changed his life. Brothers and sisters, I think all of us can testify that our life has been changed because of what? Of this practice. If you just hear the message about Christ's life, but you never calling on the name of the Lord, can you experience Christ's life? No. Our enjoyment of Christ will be so poor, so limited. And not only that, that the Lord's recovery cannot go on. It depends. Once a life, the truth is released and a practice is brought in, we must enter in. So the Lord's recovery can progress. Can advance. And that was in the 1960s. Now, the law is recovering this matter of twos or threes. Let me tell you, please, don't despise this matter. Don't think this is just a nice thing to have. Okay, I need some help. Occasionally, I'll get together with Jonathan. But most of the time, I'll do it. I'll go it on my own. I can release my spirit. I can touch my spirit. I can eat the word. I come to the church meeting and see the brother says, "Praise the Lord, brother. How are you?"
Good.
Good, thank you. I'm good too. Right? Then where is the body life? Where is the Mount Zion the Lord is looking for? Right? Let me share with you that during the team reunion, and there were two quotes that were shared with us that was very touching to me, and I'd like to repeat that to you. Number one, you know, as I said, this matter of the twos and threes, the body life, was released, vital groups was released in the 1960s. I'm sorry, 1990s. This was in the 1990s, 30 years later. That's the events of the Lord's recovery. Praise the Lord for the advancement of the Lord's recovery. Well, Brother Lee, in 1994, he wrote down something by his hand, handwritten one. He said, this was in 1994, 3 years before he passed away. He said, "I ask of the Lord after my illness what my ministry should stress. It seems that the Lord will burden me with two things. Number one, the body of Christ and the life of the body. And number two, the reality of the life of the body of Christ." So his stress, his burden, is for the body, right? And then number three, he says, "May the Lord have mercy upon me." This is what Brother Lee is speaking, and we need to say the same thing too. "May the Lord have mercy upon me, that he will grace me to live the two stresses above, listed above, two, right? To live, and then what? And minister them to the Lord's recovery accordingly." You know, it's marvelous. It's not a small thing that in the Lord's recovery that the Lord has gone on after, you know, all these 20 centuries, gone on to the point about the vital group, the building up of the body. Once the body is built, once the bride is prepared, what comes next? What comes next? What comes next? The Lord is coming.
Amen.
Don't you want the Lord to come back?
Amen.
Come quickly, Lord Jesus.
Amen.
Let's say it together. Come quickly, Lord Jesus. Right? In this particular matter, Brother Lee was not alone on this emphasis. This particular matter was spoken by Watchman Nee years ago. Listen to this. This is marvelous. He said, "Yet, brothers and sisters, we believe that there will be a day. Thank the Lord, there will be a day when God's recovery will reach the fulfillment of Ephesians chapter 4. You know what Ephesians chapter 4 is about? About one body, one spirit, right? And especially, let me just read you a verse, Ephesians 4:16. "Out from whom," that is Christ, right, the head, "all the body being joined together, being knit together through every joint of rich supply, through the operation in a measure of each one part, causes the growth of the body unto the building up of itself in love." Right? This is God's desire, right? To consummate this age. But we need to be what? To be joined together. To be knit together. So I want to ask you a question, dear brothers and sisters. Are you joined to other members of the body? Are you knit together to other members of the body? If you are not quite sure, brothers and sisters, we need twos or three. Right? And let me just finish Brother Neat's quote. He said, God is doing the recovery work everywhere. And listen to this, huh? The ultimate work among all these works may very well be the recovery of the body testimony. That means there is a testimony of the body. The body is expressed. It's there. That means the reality of the body is here. Right? God's leading today is to bring us back to the beginning and to recover us to the condition and at the beginning. Praise the Lord. Amen. So, just want to impress upon you that two or three is just not only a nice thing to have. We have to have it. Right? God must have it. So if we love the Lord, we want to tell the Lord, Lord, have mercy upon me. Grant me the grace that I may enter in and really enter into the practice of twos or threes. Okay, now, this morning, let's come back to the outlines. The title of this today, this morning, I better put my watch down so I watch my time, is the binding and releasing prayer of the twos or three. So twos or three, in case you're not quite clear, it's not a social club. It's not a buddy-buddy system. Not even a Bible study club. No, but to practice the body life. So for this, we must pray. When twos or threes are together, we must pray. It's not so easy, huh? I don't know about you. For me, it's easy for me to talk to the brothers. We like to talk. We like to fellowship. Brother Andrew, you like to talk about, when brothers get together, they talk about what? Macroeconomics, right? I don't know how about the sisters when they get together. We like to talk. But this morning, it says, the binding and releasing prayer. We must pray. Okay? Roman number 1. Let's read together.
The prayer of the twos and threes is the binding and releasing prayer.
Okay. I'd like you to open, if you would. I notice some of the college students are not quite as diligent. I wouldn't use the word lazy. They don't open the Bible. Please. Open the Bible, and there's three verses I'd like you to read. Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18. Oh, you don't have it, huh? Maybe Brother Jake can share his Bible with you, okay? Now, verse 18, brothers. Verse 19, sisters. Verse 20, all together. Okay, brothers.
Truly I say to you, whatever you bind on the earth shall have been bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on the earth shall have been loosed in heaven.
Sisters. Amen.
Where there are two
two or threes together, there am I in their midst.
Okay. Verse 18 talk about the binding and loosing prayer, right? We bind, the heaven binds. We loose, the heaven looses, right? That's tremendous. That's incredible. Then in verse 19, it says, if two of you are in harmony, right? In harmony. Not just, you know, get along, but in harmony, right? Then what happened? He says, you know, whatever he asks, the Father would, right? He would do it, right? But verse 20 explains. He said, for, right? For, that's because. Because of what? Where there are two or three gather into my name, there am I in their midst. So, let's read A together, huh? Roman number
1:8.
Amen. They are what? Gathered by who?
The Lord.
They are gathered by the Lord. And the footnote says this meeting is initiated by the Lord. Not because I like you, you like me, so we decided we want to get together, right? We are gathered by the Lord. And then what? When you are gathered by the Lord, what do? You are gathered into where? Into his name, his person, right? Not into my interest, my desire. Oh, right? Is that right? Into the Lord's name. Into the Lord's person. And then what? What is that for? A. What does it say? Yeah, say it louder, huh? Right. For his purpose.
Amen.
Not into their names, for their purpose. Purposes. Okay. And the footnote explain very well, when we are gathered together, we need to get out of ourselves, get out of our purposes, get out of matters and persons that occupy us, right? Fully into the Lord's name and for his purpose. And I think early on in one of the meetings, the brothers shared about that we need to pray ourselves into God. When we come together, okay? When we first come together, two or three, first come together, we say we want to pray. And right away, we pray, we want to pray this binding prayer. Lord, bind us! Right? Can we do that? No, that will be a self-interest. The Lord will not honor that kind of prayer. So what do we need to do? We need to pray ourselves into God.
Amen.
Touching each other's spirit.
Amen.
You know, do you know that we all have mingled spirit?
Amen.
Right? And this mingled spirit is the same corporate mingled spirit.
Amen.
But oftentimes we don't know it. Why? Because we don't practice, we don't pray with our mingled spirit together. You know, after you have some good prayer with the brothers or with the sisters, afterwards, then the brothers is different to you, right? I don't just know him as a flesh, as a red-haired brother. I know him as a member of the body.
Amen.
Right? We need to pray into God.
Amen.
Or I can say in a practical way, pray into our mingled spirit. And we'll get out of ourselves, then we will be able to pray according to God. We pray according to what God wants. If we pray according to what God wants, what will God do? say, no, I don't want to honor this, what will he do? God will take action.
Amen.
Right? Because you pray according to him.
Amen.
What he wants. Let's read, let's see, where are we? Let's read B, huh? In the prayer in Matthew 18, there must be at least two persons. The principle, one, the two, is the principle of the church, the principle of the body of Christ. Amen. Is in the principle of the church, but in case you miss, you don't quite fully grasp the idea that the church is not just a physical building, not just a general universal church, but the church is in the what? In the body, it's the body of Christ, right? Mark 6:7 talk about the Lord sent out the disciples two by two, and then what? He gave them authority, right? And then 1 Corinthians 1:1 talk about Paul sent out the letter to the Corinthians with Sosthenes. So he is not alone. It's in the principle of the body. I don't think I need to get into that. Then two, let's read two together. The prayer in harmony is so,
because whenever they are gathered together into the Lord's name, the Lord is there.
Why?
This is the reason for their harmony.
It is what? It is so powerful. Right. Oftentimes our prayer is not so powerful. We need to enter in this kind of prayer that is so powerful. Because whenever they are gathered together into the Lord's name, the Lord is there. And this is a reason for their harmony. You know, early on, some brothers share, if we are not one with one another. So even when we go out to preach the gospel, the unbelievers, they know it. Right? They know we are not one. And I know, also in the church life, it's very clear. When the leading brothers are not fully in harmony, the saints know it, and they suffer through it, right? And then, you know, who else knows? Of course, God knows, but who else knows? Yeah, the enemy knows. The angels knows. The demons knows. So there's no pretense, right? We have to be in oneness, in harmony. Right? And then we know what God wants. Then we can pray the prayer according to God. I want to give you an example. About a year or so ago, in our locality, something came up. Something, I think, was sovereignly arranged by the Lord and causing us brothers to feel, to fellowship, to pray, that this is unprecedented. Okay, but we felt we should embark in this on this road. So we pray among ourselves, fellowship among ourselves, and we are absolutely in harmony. Even though we are taking a step that we have never, never taken before. So we went to fellowship with the co-workers, and they all felt very good. So we came to fellowship with the saints, and because we felt we don't want to do anything without the amen from all the saints, because this is too big. Okay. So we began to fellowship with the saints. Everybody say amen, except one. This wonderful brother, and I really mean it, is a wonderful brother, a faithful brother, and he just has strong feeling. No, we shouldn't be doing this. So we began to pray for this brother and pray for that the whole church will be in one accord about this matter. And we even, you know, have special time of fellowshipping with him and so forth to no avail. Right? Then, for some reason, all of a sudden our brothers got sick, very sick, and mysteriously, we don't know what's wrong. And this went on for a few months. So at first, our prayer was for his illness, right? That the Lord will cure his illness. Then after as we began to pray more and more, eventually we realized that's not what the Lord wants us to pray. The Lord wants us to pray is that, Lord, do whatever you need to do to gain our brother. So that's what we pray. And then after several months, you know, he is a different brother. A different brother. Praise the Lord.
Amen.
You know, eventually, at the end, when we had a time of making a decision to fellowship with all the saints, this brother was sitting in the front row. And everything we share, he said, Amen, Amen, Amen. This is marvelous, right? Praise the Lord.
Amen.
You know, sometimes when some saints get sick, well, I'm not advising you not to pray for their illness. But I'm saying that we need to really pray ourselves into God.
Amen.
To know what God wants us to pray. Right? Amen. Okay. Now let's get to a C. Huh? How about the sisters receive? Right. Amen. So, one, Brothers 3:1.
The special thing here is that there must be a move on earth before there is a move in heaven. Even though God has a will, he wants the free will on earth to echo his will before he does anything.
Brothers, sisters, point two. Brothers, point three.
The prayer ministry of the church is God telling the church what he wants to do, and the church praying on earth for what God wants to do.
Amen. So these points talk about a very important point. That is, God does not move until we move. Right? God is waiting for us. Is God an almighty God? Then why doesn't he do whatever he needs to do? For some reason, our God is a special God. He limits himself to us. Unless we pray and cooperate with him, he does not move. We cannot ask God to do what he does not want to do. But we definitely can delay what he wants to do. Right? Well, simple examples, brothers and sisters. Is it God's desire that we all grow in life rapidly? Right? Is that God's desire? No? God doesn't want us to grow? Grow in life. Yeah. I mean in a good way. Isn't it God's desire that we should grow, right? And be transformed.
Amen.
But why is it that our growth is so little? That our transformation is so little? What? What is he looking for? What is he looking for? Huh? For our cooperation.
Amen.
Right? If we give God a cooperation, he will do what he wants to do.
Amen.
Right? Okay. Let's come back to this verse 18. It says, you bind on earth shall have been bound in heaven. Whatever you lose on the earth shall have been loosed in heaven. That means the binding and releasing, or the binding and the losing, is the binding the condemning of the enemy, not the sinning brothers in verse 17. But the losing, the releasing, is the forgiving of the sinning brother. Right. Okay, I think I'm running short on time. Under point one, Isaiah 45, 11. You know, that is a very strange verse. Very. It says, thus says Jehovah, right? He says, concerning my sons, concerning the work of my hand, and he tells the house of Israel to do what? To command me. Can you command God? Who is in charge? Are you in charge or God's in charge? He said, command me. That's what he wants to do, right? Command me. When we have this kind of praying into ourselves, into God, sometimes we have the boldness. Say, Lord, this is what you want to do. Lord, we command you that you do it, right? And then in under point two, there's a verse, Ezekiel 36, 37. He says, I will be inquired of by the house of Israel to increase them with men like a flock. Well, why don't you do it, Jehovah? You want to increase the house of Israel with children, right? With men like a flock. Why don't you do it? He said, no. Right? He wants to be inquired of by the house of Israel. Dear saints, we need to be, how do you call that? Inquirers? Huh? We need to be the proper inquirers. Right? To inquire of the Lord.
Amen.
Lord, do it.
Amen.
This is what you want.
Amen.
And this is what we want. Okay. Let's move on to D. Huh? The prayer of the twos or threes recovers and gains the sinning brother. Okay, for this, I need to, make it. Do I have enough time? Yeah. Maybe just take a few more minutes, huh? I need to have some illustration, huh? In verses 15 through 17, is that there is a cycle. A brother who went through the whole cycle tried to recover a sinning brother. Okay? Let's say Ben. Yeah, I'm going to use sacrifice Ben, huh? That's Ben. Ben, he sinned against me. You know, it's just unfortunately sinned against me. Right? So the very first thing to do, what do I do? What's the first thing I do? I go to talk to Zach. Oh, you know what happened to Ben? You know what he did to me? No. I go to Ben first, right? But unfortunately, he wouldn't listen to me. Okay, have a seat. Okay. And we'll make you sit up again. And stand up again. So, I have no choice, right? But my desire is to gain my brother. Okay, so what do I need to do? I have my companion. Come on. Come on, Andrew. Come on, Jonathan. I got two companions. I say, brothers, we need to restore our brother. Into fellowship.
Yeah.
Shall we go to fellowship with him? Not to condemn him, but to recover him. Okay, let's go. Let's go. So, Brother Ben, we really want to recover you. But he wouldn't listen to us. So what do I do? The Bible says, then tell it to the church. Does that mean you go to the Lord's Day morning meeting? No. You want to cover the brother. Your main purpose is to recover him, right? So then I go to these two leading brothers. Brothers, we have no way, but we really love our brother, want to recover him. So could you brothers come? Huh? Come. Please. Okay. Now you better speak to Ben.
Ben, we love you, brother.
Okay. Thank you.
Now, Ben is still stubborn. He would not respond.
Even the leading brothers come into him. So we should consider him as what? Gentile and tax collector. Right? So for me, as a brother, listen to this now, please. If I don't have God's heart, I would say, that's it. I wash my hands. That's too bad. He doesn't want to repent. Right? He's lost. Right? And Ben, please forgive me to say this, huh? And after all, he's not a good brother. He's not an eloquent brother. He's just a little brother. Right? That's the content of chapter 18. He's a little one. Right? Let him be lost. Is that what God's attitude is? That's not God's heart. God's heart says, recover them. Never, listen to this, huh? Never give them up. God does not give up on anyone. Isn't it wonderful to know that even though we are so bad, right? Isn't that our experience? Even though we are so bad, God never gives up on us. And neither will he allow us to give others, to give up others. This is a marvelous revelation from the ministry. This is God's heart, right? And Brother Stephen talked about Luke chapter 15, the connection between Luke chapter 15 and Matthew chapter 11, right? The first parable, the 100 sheep, one is lost. The shepherd went out of his way as though he didn't care about those 99. His heart is for this lost sheep. And what did he say? There's a word there called until. Never gives up. Until he finds it. And then the next parable about the coin, the last coin, it also has this word, until. He never gives up. So, brothers and sisters, we need the Lord to constitute his humanity into us, his divine attributes, his human virtue into us, that we would care for one another to such an extent we never give them up. Okay, I know I'm running out of time. Oh, Lord. Let me just quickly, huh? Okay. It says, I'll read this quickly, huh? Point one, we should not give up on anyone. We have to go to the Lord again and again with prayers, touching heaven by binding and releasing in harmony. When we pray, we should simply tell the Lord directly what we want. There's no need for us to pray long prayers in which we teach, explain, and expound the scripture to the Lord. The Lord doesn't need that, huh? We need to be desperate. This is what I want, like Brother Ruel says, right? Lord, ask the blind man, what do you want me to do for you? And he is so straightforward, Lord, that I may receive my sight. And he got his sight, right? That's what we need to learn. When we are desperate enough, we'll pray the direct prayer. The Greek word render intercession in 1 Timothy 2:1 means to approach God in a personal, confining manner, that is intervening, interfering before God in others' affairs for their benefit. Sometimes, when you work with other new ones, you know, you pray an intercessory prayer to interfere with the affairs. One time with a new one, it was going on quite well, but he had the prior commitment to go with his buddies, his old worldly friend, to take a trip of all places. What in the world they want to go to Thailand? Well, the problem with that is that will take him away for a long time and get lost in all these worldly things, right? So we had a boldness to pray, an interfering prayer. Lord, stop him from going to Thailand. And the Lord interfered. Praise the Lord. Okay, I better hurry up, huh? Number four, through asking in one spirit with Christ for the sinning brother, we can become the means, the channel through which God's life-giving spirit can impart life to the one for whom we ask. Finally, Roman numeral 2, I don't have time. Can I just say one thing? That is, he says we have to budget our time, setting aside 2 or 3 times a week for the prayer with our 2 or 3 companions. I want to impress upon you, don't just be impressed with the need to have 2s and 3s and the needs to pray together. If you just go back with the aspiration, nothing is going to happen. Right? Nothing is going to happen. I would say this strong word, you need to schedule time. If you don't schedule time, it's not going to happen. Satan will not stand still. Idle. Let you have a good time to a binding and releasing prayer. Will he? No. Schedule a time with your companion. Okay? Now, we have a number of saints that would like to share with us their experiences. Let me turn this over to Brother Jacob. I'll use that one. Okay.
To do something quite special for the 8 saints, if you could come up quickly, we'll just line up here against the back. We felt to use this time because many of us are maybe quite new to this practice, or maybe haven't had any experience with it at all, to just share some testimonies from your peers. We feel this would be so encouraging for you to just see how others among us have been experimenting, endeavoring, striving to practice the 2s and 3s. So we have 4 pairs from 4 different localities, and we'll just have each one share for 2 minutes each, and we'll just turn it over to them. 2 brothers first from Cyprus.
Okay. Praise the Lord. I'm so glad to be standing here with my brother. My 2s and 3s. I would just like to say first that, you know, We're by no means experts in this matter of 2s and 3s. We've only scratched the surface in our experience, and it's really by the Lord's mercy. This is not anything that we could ever do out of ourselves, but it's really the Lord in his move operating in us to take this way. Really, how we got started is actually by having no 2s and 3s at all. We actually went to the other extreme at Cyprus, and One semester we were completely isolated, and there was no way for, you know, the Lord to really move through us. We were all struggling, and eventually we realized that if we want to go on with the Lord, we need to change our way. Amen. We need to take another way. And so we prayed about the matter. We had a lot of fellowship, and we decided, I really enjoyed the last Roman numeral, we decided to put fixed times to come together. This was very important because, like you said, if there's no fixed times, it will not happen. But we knew that when Friday at that time came around, we knew where we had to be. we were to get together, we'd prayed. Amen. And so the other thing I want to emphasize is that the first thing we did was that we prayed. Amen. We prayed and we prayed and we prayed. Amen. That the Lord would really vitalize us, that the Lord would really be able to use us as his vessel on this campus and in the church life. We weren't satisfied anymore with just having going to meetings and going home. We wanted to be used by the Lord in our college years. And so we prayed and we prayed and we prayed. And out of that prayer, the Lord was able to do many things. Gospel, in relation to the gospel. I was a failure with relation to the gospel. But with my brother, Praise the Lord.
Amen.
We had a real breakthrough in Cypress College. Amen. And the Lord was able to save some and to really help us to lose our face with one another. We also began to bear each other's burdens corporately, whether it was contacts or even just caring for one another. It was no longer just us individually trying to bear these burdens by ourselves, but really it became a corporate matter. And we took this matter of fruit-bearing in a corporate way.
Amen.
So praise the Lord. The Lord could have such a mercy that we could even have such experience of being in these twos and threes at Cyprus.
Amen. Amen. I just wanted to, say that, this is really God's mercy. And the emphasis was that we just gave ourselves to pray.
Amen.
All we did, we just, I understood we didn't have anything, but we had a fixed time. We knew on Friday we were going to be, we didn't have school, so we fixed a time. We just prayed desperately. And I just like to share one experience is that I had a brother in my math class, and there was a newly saved one from the previous semester. And this one, he was on fire at first, but then, when we were in the class together, he was really cold, and, we were just burdened for this one, and me and this brother, we spent a lot of time together, and just on the drives home, when I take him home, we would just pray for this brother that he'd get vitalized. We would just pray, Lord, set him on fire, set him on fire. And, it took time, but the Lord set him on fire, and then his brother ended up getting saved.
Amen.
And, it was just prayer. It was just prayer. And there was also another time that we got together. We got together on Saturday mornings for our college meeting that night, and all we did again, we just prayed. We just prayed because our burden was is that people would just be fed Christ, and that we would all be vitalized, and that we would enter into this reality because we just had the burden that we want to be useful for the Lord in our college years, and we want others to enter into this with us, and I think this If we have this view that the Lord, He doesn't want to just use the full-timers. He wants to gain, He wants to use the young people.
Amen.
We're the ones that are in the classrooms. We're the ones that are close to people that will have golden futures.
Amen.
They could be useful vessels.
Amen.
And we're the ones that are sitting next to them.
Amen.
They're the one that could be captured. And they could be the ones that will bring the Lord back.
Amen.
And so, this is the view. Amen.
Amen. I think I just want to echo what all the brothers have already shared sitting here and these ones that have spoken. Like, my burden in speaking is not because I really like to speak in front of people, but it's because you guys need to see how necessary this vital group living is. I feel like we've signed ourselves up for training, but the training is really not for this week, not so we can show how, victorious and overcoming we can be. This is for this summer when you go back to your house. It's for this next school year. And so I guess just to share a little experience, in my second year of college, I got to a point where I just couldn't do it anymore. I just realized I was living like the shell of a good church kid. And so I really wanted to leave the church life. And I just I told the Lord that, Lord, I'm not real. Make me real. Like, be my reality. And even, actually, it was exactly 2 years ago at the summer college training on the humanity of Jesus. So after I spoke, two sisters who are relatively close to me came up to me and said, I didn't even know. And like in me, I was like, that's just wrong. That's not the way it's supposed to be. And so my prayer since then has been, Lord, build me up with other saints, because that's what is necessary for you guys to stay in the church life, for you guys to bring others into the church life. And so I guess my experience with the twos and threes is, honestly, I don't have anything amazing to share. It was hard. It was a learning experience, to tell you the truth. We set a time and we didn't always make it. Even if we got there, I didn't always want to pray. But anyways, it just turned out the Lord really had mercy on us. And we started off with a huge list of things to pray, and he focused it down to this one thing that we prayed for over and over. And I'd say in my senior year, I had a hard time. I had my doubts again. But this time I was really sure that this was it, that I did not want to leave, and I couldn't leave because I was built in already.
Amen. Echoing again what everyone has been sharing, the phrase scratch the surface was exactly what I was sharing with Emily. You know, we're just starting to scratch the surface, and I was a little nervous because I didn't feel like I had too much to share, but I know I have enjoyed the twos and threes, and our experiences are all together for the body.
Amen.
So I owe the Lord and owe the saints our experiences and just how good this the twos and threes is, because it's not a method, it's a living, you know, and our concepts of what it is, it's not what my concepts were, you know, which is just a little taste we had this week of the 1 hour of getting together, like that's a part, you know, a little taste, but that's not all, you know, I wanted to just share kind of how it started, the twos and threes with me this past year, how we struggled, and then how it's different than just a mere friendship, and to start, I guess, there are two instances when the Lord in his earthly ministry filled Peter's nets with fish, and he asked Peter to bring in his nets. The first was in Luke 5:5, when Peter's name was still Simon, and the Lord asked him to bring in the nets, and it said, when they enclosed a great number of fish, and their nets began to tear apart. And then later, at the end of his earthly ministry, after the Lord had helped the brothers, the disciples, and perfected them into one, built them up, he asked them to do the same thing, and Simon Peter therefore went up and hauled the net to the land full of large fish, and though there were so many, the net was not torn.
Amen.
So here we see a net full of fish that's breaking, and then later, this net full of fish that's not torn. In my experience, I asked the Lord, where are my twos and threes when I came to L.A., and he didn't give me two or three, he gave me more than 23. He put me in this big, small group in a family's home, and we didn't know what we were doing, And one brother put it well. He said, we have a good problem, but it's still a problem. We have too many fish, not enough too many sheep, not enough shepherds. Or we have 23, not enough twos and threes. And so we just were desperate. And then me and the sister started to just get to know one another. Because first we tried to just pray for all the fish. But it was very religious, very, you know, we had so much pressing on us in our own lives. How can we care for others? And, you know, I had just a small example. My neighbors were stealing my plants. Like, they were using shovels and digging up our flowers. And who does that? How can I care for these new ones that I don't know if I'm not, you know, if I have no one to pray with about these little things, these little anxieties? And so just opened this, we prayed, and then, anyway, just lots of little human caring for one another like that.
Amen.
Me babysitting our kids so she could have a date night with her husband. You know, just going to her daughter's ballet recital together. You know, very human. And this is not what comes across when we read the outlines on the twos and threes. But it's a living. And it's an enjoyable living.
Amen.
And just real quickly, the difference I was considering before the Lord, what's the difference between a mere friendship and what we've been building up? And just because outwardly it kind of looks the same. But I realized, you know, in my experience with my friends in school and track and field, all those things, the closer I got with my friends, the more exclusive and narrow we became, not wanting anyone else, you know, in. But my experience with my twos and threes is the closer we've become, the more enlarged our hearts have become, and the more inclusive we become. And so now when we spend time together, we're just strengthened to care for others. And because when we're together, there's just a net there. People get caught.
Amen.
And they're not just caught, but they get built in.
Amen.
Praise the Lord for the twos and threes.
Amen.
Oh, what a mercy. What a mercy for us to hear these messages. Well, I don't know if you know Travis. You usually see me with him. We're always together. But he's actually in Spain right now. And a couple years ago, we were very new in the church life in Mission Viejo, and pretty soon we got to know each other, and then we realized that we're wasting a lot of gas taking two cars because we lived in the same city. So practically, we started just carpooling, And within that time, we focused on one thing the first moment we saw each other. That was to exercise our spirit,
amen.
Right? And this was, and we practiced praying ourselves into God.
Amen.
And sometimes, you know, before that, I saw him that day. It was hard for me to get into God, right? But with this companion, he was able to usher me into God, right? So we enjoyed this, and then, you know, halfway through the ride, we finally started talking about normal things, right? And then we started getting built up in this way. And I share a testimony. One time, I needed a shift cover to blend with the saints in San Diego and take care of new ones. And I prayed and prayed, and I couldn't get my shift cover. But eventually, I had a sense, I need to pray with another. But the first name that came up to me is Travis. Call Travis. I called him. We prayed for 30 seconds. And after I finished prayer, I said, "Oh, it is finished."
Amen.
And then I called someone who didn't want to cover my shift. And somehow she just said, "Yes, yes." And I was like, "Hallelujah." Right? But that wasn't the main thing. That was great. But what was the best thing about that was instantly there was a name in my being. I knew I had someone I could turn to. Right? So do you have that name? Do you have that? And so we started praying more and more. And eventually fruit was born. And this brother right here started coming to the meetings and enjoying Christ with us.
Amen.
So here's the fruit. Here's the proof. The twos and threes are really important. I mean, I had grown up as a church kid. And in Mission Viejo, there wasn't, when I was first living there, there wasn't many, no one else my age. So I was like, church life's not my thing. I'm going to go do my own thing. So, and then I moved away for a little bit. And then I moved back, and I was like, man, this is going to be tough coming back to Mission Viejo. You know, I don't know anyone out here. It's going to be different. But so parents told me, "Hey, why don't you go to Friday night meetings? You might meet somebody." I'm like, I don't know about that, those Friday night meetings. So I went, and then I saw Travis and Evan, and they're like really exercised. I'm like, this looks enjoyable. So I talked to them a little bit, but not really. Not with my spirit. But they're always just using their spirit. I'm like, man, if I really want to talk to them, I better just start getting into my spirit. So meeting with them, they had classes on a Wednesday. And so on Tuesday nights, I'd go to the prayer meeting, and they offered one time, "Hey, can we spend the night at your house?" I'm like, sure. And so when they spent the night, I really got to know them personally. I got to know about their lives. I got to know how they came in the church life, what they did before, their childhood, everything. So personal that they became really my best friends. These ones are so, so dear. And just from that, we started meeting more regularly, like on Tuesday nights, prayer meeting. Wednesday nights, go to Wednesday night meeting. Thursday, we just come, just go have dinner at someone's house. Fridays, we'd see each other on Friday night. We'd have appointments with our friends. We would, "Hey, you want to come along? We're going to go to In-N-Out and just talk about the word, hopefully." I mean, it's not always, we don't want to try to like focus everything on the word with the new ones. We want to have something natural. But we would just pray before the time that we would go that something naturally would occur.
Amen.
And so this is happening. I mean, we meet with a brother on every Tuesday. And we pray. I go a little earlier. We pray, and we read. We're going through the book of Hebrews, and we're just going reading just a page a day. Something small, nothing too big, too spiritual, too frightening. But we would just do something very practical. And then after that, after we read, we'd go surfing, go do something like that. And then it was just enjoyable. So
amen.
Praise the Lord for the twos and threes.
Amen.
I want to echo the same thing. There's not really a method that we have. It's just pretty much just what we have lived, and this is just our experience.
Right.
And with that experience, we want to share a couple of things. We do have the environment where we can meet together. And back home in our locality, we have a brother's house. We come together and just to get together, you know, with the students, just you know, study, fellowship, even just to come and rest between the classes.
And you know, one thing I was enjoying, because we have this environment, the brother's house, it invites so many students. Like sometimes some brothers, when they go to campus, the brother's house is about 5 minutes from campus. the brothers can literally just walk in. And this house is open 24/7. Some brothers study late at night, and this has created an environment where some brothers have brought their friends into the brothers' house. And there's no, okay, now I'm going to preach the gospel. No, it's something very normal. And this is like a refuge. Amen. So the brother is comfortable and his friend is comfortable. He can go to the fridge, take something up. Sometimes we have some edges on Rafa. But this atmosphere creates this new one to start loving what these brothers are doing. Amen. And this refuge is a kind of a sanctified place where the brothers can also usher this new one into the church life.
Amen. And through this, we are also related through one another. We enjoy the Lord together. You know, we touch the Lord together. And we have an emphasis that we want to pray together. You know, we don't want to come together to have some social connection or anything like that. We really want to pray ourselves into the Lord, you know, into Amen. God. Amen. And out of the prayer comes the genuine concern for one another. Amen. I mean, one time I was having a real hard time, and my brother here, he noticed that I was having a hard time, and I mean, he didn't really give me a solution, but he was listening to me. And we got together and we prayed ourselves, you know, into God. And in our prayer, I forgot about my situation. Amen. I forgot and I was back in the enjoyment of the Lord. Amen. And also in this enjoyment, we realized that we also have to be part of the church life. And for this, we also have an open meeting that we go to.
So we also have, like on Thursday nights, we're privileged to have a couple who have an open home. For some reason, this couple, they have older children and they have gone to have their own lives. But this couple has opened their home wide open. So sometimes, you know, these twos and threes are not apart from the church life.
Amen.
You know, sometimes one of the new ones we gained recently, he just loved the Lord so much. Amen. All he knew to tell his friend, come for dinner. Amen. That's all he knew. You know, says, I love the Lord, but you come for dinner. And when this new one came for dinner one time, and all of us were praying, you know, before that brother told us, oh, I'm bringing this brother to the house tonight for dinner. Mm-hmm. Let's start praying for him. So a couple of us, not only two, we are a couple of brothers, and we started praying ourselves into God. Oh, how about this one? May he believe into the Lord.
Amen.
And then when this new one came into the house, he couldn't believe it. You know, when he sat down, everybody's saying, what's your name? You know, how are you doing? So there was an atmosphere of warmth. There was an atmosphere of care. And then when the gospel was preached, wow, he was crying. Amen. You know, and he touched his spirit and he believed into the Lord.
Amen.
But now that's not only the one accord of the twos and threes, also with the couple, you know, with the saints, the older brother and sister. Mm-hmm. They were so ready. You know, when the gospel was preached, a brother brought up the question about baptism. And immediately this senior one was so open. And as the brother was telling him about baptism, the sister just went and, you know, opened the shower. The water was just going. And amen.
Yeah, so we see the one, I mean, there is the saints, when they come together, we bring in new ones. They see the love of the saints. They see the warmth and the cherishing. You know, we receive them. And even, you know, it's not like we're saying, hey, here, look at us, we're one. It's just we're living and enjoying the Lord. Amen. And then when we're enjoying the Lord, even when they're getting baptized, they're just open, and then we just welcome them and, you know, give them a hug and stuff. Yeah. But the most crucial thing is that we were just initiated by prayer. Amen. There was a lot of persistent prayer and even desperate prayer before the Lord.
Amen.
And out of this desperate prayer came the genuine concern for one another.
Amen.
And to be built up with one another.
Amen.
And by any means, we have not reached the goal, you know. We're just still learning. We're still striving. We're still short of the truth. And we're still pursuing on together with one another. Because we need the Lord.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen.